Good afternoon. My name is Larry Thomas, and I'm an alcoholic. And today our workshop is going to be on the home group. And I'm kind of anxious about the raffle, though. This is going to be the first raffle where they're raffling off cleaning supplies, it looks like. That ought to be kind of neat. I don't know about you, but I was kind of intimidated when I went to my first home group. The one that I'm in now, you know, it seemed like when I walked in there, I was about, close to 2 years sober. And it seemed like everybody had cliques. And it reminded me of one more time, it's going to be like high school. You know, these guys are over here and these guys are over here. And there seemed to be a lot of people around my sponsor. And it seemed to me that he liked them better than me. You know, and I could tell, you know, because of just the way that he treated me, he was a lot happier, you know, and that used to bother me. And Johnny would take off for the weekend, and I would call these guys, and I would say, hey, Ray, how come Johnny likes you better? And Ray would say, oh, Larry, it ain't that way at all, you know, he just knows us longer, you know. And you're kind of like the new kid on the block. And it seems like, you know, after a period of time, you know, he'll get to know you and you won't have to feel that way. And besides, I started falling into that old trap of trying to seek my sponsor's approval. And what happens to me is when I'm seeking his approval rather than his direction, I'll hold back secrets so that I get his approval. And what happened over the period of time is I got to make my own friends. You know, and it's not so necessary for me to worry about if he likes me better or not, you know. And now, 24 years later, when Johnny goes away, these guys will call me that he sponsors. And they'll say, hey, Larry, how come Johnny likes you better, you know. And I tell them, because you're a loser, you know. And I tell you, for a long, long time, I lived a certain way, and I couldn't stay sober. And now, for an equally long period of time, I've managed to stay sober because I've had to change the way that I live, and I couldn't do that on my own. And I brought my book with me to read some things, not to be wonderful or anything, because my memory's shot. And I want to read something to you, now that we're talking about the home group, that kind of rings true with me. And that is this: Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring the truth, that where there is doubt, I bring faith, that where there is despair, I bring hope, that where there are shadows, I bring light, that where there is sadness, I bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiving, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Now, to a lot of us, that would seem like, okay, you just read the 11-step prayer. What I've just described for me from my own experience of sitting in a home group for 24 years is a basic atmosphere of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's exactly what should be going on in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's exactly what I have felt this weekend. I can't tell you how good I have felt when I get away from this box and I'm out among you. I don't care if I'm ever asked to get behind this thing again. But if I can't survive out there, I'm a dead man. And that's where I do my work. That's where I belong. And last night after the meetings, I was with some people, and we had the meeting after the meeting after the meeting. And this morning, we were shoulder to shoulder with some people. And all weekend long, I've been doing what my home group have asked me to do, and that is to be one among many. And I tell you, last night, I had a blast. Last night, we were cutting up and carrying on, and you'd never know that we had a chronic disease called alcoholism. We were happy, we're joyous, and we're free. And that's the very spirit of my home group. See, that's the atmosphere where a guy like me can finally stay sober, you see? And at 2 years sober, I followed myself into a home group. And in our home group, we love to greet. When you come to my Monday night meeting in Bellflower, we've got about 15 people shaking your hands to greet your ass. And if you try to sneak around the back door, there's 15 more. And if you go into a bathroom, there's a couple guys that'll shake your hand in there, you know. One of them has a commitment, you know. And if anything, you know that your butt has been greeted that Monday night. You have been greeted to death, you know. And that's the exact, an atmosphere that I love to be in, you know. There's nothing worse than coming to a group where you would think like it was a wax museum, for Christ's sakes. You know what I mean? It's a tough place for me to be because I can be like that on my own, thank you. You know what I mean? And I tell you, what happens is I got a job in my home group. You see, my home group, I believe home is where your heart is. And I treat my home group as if it was my home. That is my home. And it's up to me to do the chores in my home group. You see, the commitment that I have to my home group isn't that I make coffee. That's the job that I have. The commitment is being at the meeting. That's the commitment. You see, the most important thing for a guy like me to discover in that, the most important object in my life in that home group is not the book, is not the sponsor, is not the microphone. The most important part of that meeting to me is that chair. And anything that comes between me and that chair has to be resolved. That is the most important thing, me being in that chair. Without me being in that chair, nothing else matters. And I had to finally make Alcoholics Anonymous and my home group my primary purpose. That was the most important thing. I had to have a program of action where there's purpose and action in my life. In my home group, I've got little jobs there, and I need a little job. Because one of the things that I survive in today is the very thing that I've been avoiding all my life, and that is getting in a rut. Oh, my God, I didn't want to be in a rut. Oh, my God, how lame. Look at that guy. All he does is go to work and go home. Da, 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 da. And you know what? For a man like me with a head like mine, do you know that's where I get my security from? Is knowing where I'm supposed to be on a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday night. There's nothing like knowing where you're, especially for an alcoholic of my type, there's nothing like knowing where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be with. Because on those days in between, we can get goofy as all hell, but there's nothing like knowing that in 3 hours I'm going to be at my home group, you know? And the reason that I survive in my rut and I get trained to do certain things is because every now and then life will throw you a little... some trouble. It's bound to happen. We're in the middle of life. AA will not shield me from life's little bullets. And whenever one of these little things happen to me, I don't have to guess where I'm supposed to be. I don't have to wonder what meeting to go to. I know where I'm supposed to be, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be at that Monday night meeting, you see? And so I survive in that rut. And about 5 years sober, I was sitting in my little apartment. And all day long, I've been thinking, I'm not going to that meeting. 2 hours before meeting time is the worst time for me, because that's when my head starts working on me. I'm not going. I'm not going. It's raining out. He's going to be there. I know who's talking. I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. In the shower. God, I'm not going to that goddamn meeting. And you know what? Before I know it, I was not going, I was not going, I was not going all the way to my damn meeting, you know. It was just like, you know, like on payday, how you automatically went to Eddie's liquor store. It was like I'd been so used to being at a certain place at a certain time that for the first time in my life, totally against my little head hammer on me, I was trained to do certain things. And it was like my feet had been trained. Even though my head was telling me all this other stuff, I knew where I was supposed to be on a given time at a given night, you know? And that's a sense of security for a guy like me. I love that atmosphere of a home group. And when I think of my home group, you know, when I think about Alcoholics Anonymous, the thought of Akron or New York never enters my mind. When I think about Alcoholics Anonymous, I think about my home group and my participation in it. because that's where I live. Everything about my life stems from my home group. That's where I was taught how to live, you know. That's where this magical triangle of identification took place, where a guy like me finally started saddling up to other men, and they started teaching me how to live. That's where I made the biggest surrenders of my life. I was talking about this to a gentleman this morning. The hardest thing for me to do was to ask another man for help and be my sponsor. Everything in me was against that. Everything in me is about me doing it on my terms and my way. And to finally get to a point where I had to ask a man to sponsor me and then take direction from me was the biggest surrender I ever had. But with that surrender came an open-mindedness that maybe this guy can help me with other things, and finally a trust for another man. And I tell you, it's a great thing to have a sponsor. Make no mistake about that. But it's a whole different ball game when you watch him 3 times a week in his own home group. When your sponsor is not just telling you what to do, where he's actually doing what he's telling you to do. You know, that spoke volumes to me. It spoke volumes to me to go on a trip with my sponsor and go into the restroom and shower and come out of that shower and to see my sponsor on the side of his bed doing a third step prayer. That it wasn't just something he was having me do, that he was actually doing these things, you know. And to put myself in an atmosphere called Alcoholics Anonymous and then given the privilege of having a commitment, a job in that meeting, not so much so that I can stay sober, but so that maybe I can recreate this atmosphere that was created for me. See, when I think about my home group, it's kind of like thinking about Thanksgiving. I don't think about so much what's going to happen to me and, oh, goody, I've got a home group. When I think about my home group, I think about the blood, sweat, and the tears that has started that group over 25 years ago. People that started that meeting, people that had created that atmosphere and those customs in that group, and have carried on for a guy like me to stumble into a group and see it that there was so much enthusiasm there that you got my attention. You see, it wasn't your solution that got my attention. It wasn't your solution for alcoholism that got my attention. It was your enthusiasm for that solution that got my attention. You guys were happy about the things that you were doing. You guys seemed to have this level of lightness about you, this camaraderie that the book talks about, and that appealed to me so well. I was a terrified, lonely man when I come to you. And I thought for sure that this thing was going to be a long drive across the desert and then you'll drop me off. You know what I mean? And then when I seen you guys rubbing shoulders and laughing and farting, I'm going, my God, I can do it here. I can do it right here. You see, because my first year and a half, I got sober in an Alano club. And this is just my experience. And I have nothing against Alano clubs whatsoever. But my experience was that for a year and a half, I stayed sober on the junk food of AA, so to speak. And after about 2 years sober, I needed steak and potatoes, and I didn't know where to go. But it seemed to me that this group, that this man that was my sponsor was talking about, I followed him to a place that was serving it up. And my God, I fell in love with the enthusiasm here. You see, my first sponsor and my second sponsor did something to me that I'll always be grateful, and that'll happen to everybody when they work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is, it will relieve the obsession to drink, for sure. But every now and then, it'll light a spark in somebody. But what good is that spark is if you're hanging around people who are trying to spit on it and put it out? I had to bring that spark to a people who will fan that fire. I had to bring that spark and that flame of enthusiasm to some people who will fan that fire, and that was my home group. Because my home group understood how vital that was to keep that flame of enthusiasm going, you know. And that's the neat thing about being with people in your home group is that when you're feeling crappy, they can pull you along. And when they're feeling crappy, you can pull them along. But for Christ's sakes, at least you're pulling each other to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, for a long, long time, when I would come to my home group, that was your meeting. It was your commitments. It was your meeting to take care of. And then I got involved, and I got a little job in that meeting, and then it became my meeting. Then it became my commitment, and my chair. And then sometime after 10 years sober, it became our meeting. our primary purpose, our common welfare, our group conscience. This whole thing took on a whole different way of life, that it wasn't just about me staying sober, that I started sponsoring guys, and I found myself in the middle of this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous, where I've got a sponsor, and I've got guys that I'm sponsor, and I'm in the middle of this thing called life. Wonderful feeling for a guy like me. Wonderful feeling for a guy like me to be asked to go to penitentiaries and stuff like that. And this isn't, you know what, and my home group isn't Mecca. I don't have this funny idea that the only place to get sober is in Southern California. By no chance. Because I've been in institutions and in penitentiaries and places like that where their home groups are alive and well. I talked to a gentleman this morning about that. And you can't tell me that that enthusiasm is just in meetings in Southern California, because those guys are just as enthusiastic about Alcoholics Anonymous behind those bars than people in Nevada and California. Now, the terrible thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is a double-edged sword. Yeah, you practice these principles and the obsession will be removed. Then how come people get drunk after they're sober a while? That's because of the deadly thing called alcoholism. And that the obsession to drink will never come back as a form of a drink. The obsession to drink will never come back as a form of a drink. The obsession to drink will come back as a form of, I don't need to do this anymore. Let somebody else make the coffee. Let somebody else do the taping. Let somebody else do the rap. Let somebody else, I've been sober long enough, I don't need to do this stuff. And that's where a guy like me starts hanging himself. Because Monday after Monday after Monday, I see people get behind this box and they take their cakes for 5, 10, and 15 years and they start telling me about how they're blessed. They start telling me about how they're blessed with their family and with their education and with their new job. And within a year, these people are hanging themselves with their great blessings because they forget to come back to the place that blessed them when nobody else would. I don't think this is about coming here and getting your blessings fulfilled as much as I is as us getting some type of relief from alcoholism and being able to carry that message again. That's my primary purpose. Whether I get a car or a job has nothing to do with it. But I've got to carry this message of alcohol, and I've got to be where the alcoholics are. And they're not going to be coming down to my workplace. They're going to be in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's where I need to be. You know, I need to be in my meeting. The hardest thing for me to do is to sponsor guys who don't want to go to meetings. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I seem to be plagued with these guys that I got to, you know, come on, man, it's Monday night, you know what I mean? And after a while, you know what? I give them enough rope to hang themselves. I don't waste. My sponsor told me a long, long time ago, you don't make the effort, I don't make the effort. Save that energy for the guys that want to do it. You know? And I think one of the best examples of the power of a home group for me was when I was about 4 years ago, my dad passed away. And I told my sponsor, it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And every Thursday, I would go to my dad's house, and we'd have chili. That was our day together. Every day, long before we even knew he had a little cancer. That was our day, Thursday nights. Go have chili, and then I'd go to my 12 and 12 workshop. And he died on a Thursday. He passed away at about 3:30, and I called my sponsor. And I told him what happened. He says, well, just take care of business and try to get to your meeting tonight. And I took care of business, and the guys come, and they picked up my dad in the sheet, and they dropped the sheet, and they put him in the coroner's truck, and off he went. And I said, you know what? I'm in a bad place here. And I need the love and the affection of my home group. And I don't want to spoil it by going out there and telling everybody what happened to my dad. I want to go there and feel my home group. And I went to that home group. And one by one, every guy that I sponsor started coming up to me and telling me about their flat tire and telling me about the kids yelling and telling me about the boss at work. And slowly, in a matter of minutes, I was in the safest place I knew. You relieved me of the bondage of myself. And I was of maximum service with purpose and action. And I knew my dad was in a good place. But I didn't have to take my suffering and all that to the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and be out of service. I was able to be there, and you guys took very good care of me. Very good care of me, and I knew I was in the right place. and my sponsor knew I was in the right place. And I could feel the power of that home group. And I was so glad that I had gotten to know the people in that home group, and that I wasn't just a guest in that group, that I was a member. I was an active member of that home group, and everybody knew me, you know. And I didn't have to wonder who to sit by and what to do and where I should go. I was in the confines of my home group, and it was the safest place that I know, you know. Safest place I know. Safest place for me to be is on Wednesday night when my grand sponsor and sponsor are sitting behind me, and I'm on Murderer's Row with my buddies. There's four of us right in front of them. It's like heaven to me, man. I go all day for that fellowship. I don't go there so much to hear the speaker. It's that fellowship that I crave. And there's a word that I understand. I crave this fellowship. I love what it produces here, you know. And I do whatever I can to get to you guys, you know. And so my home group is very valuable to me. That's where I do my work. That's where I look for the new guys, you know, and try to be a service here, you know. That's where men taught me how to live, taught me how to hold a job at 10 years sober, you know. You got a guy here 10 years sober, 15 years sober, and I couldn't hold a job. You know why I couldn't hold a job? It's because I was getting a divorce, and I didn't want that first wife to have a cent. So you know how you make that happen? You stay poor at her, and you don't hold jobs, and she don't get any money. And you go visit your little girl on child visitation day, and your little girl jumps up in your arms, and she's got holes in her underwear and holes in her socks. But she ain't getting a cent. And you get to live by your rights one more time rather than the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And your daughter gets to suffer the consequences. And she looks at you with those big Cuban eyes and says, "Daddy, if you love me, why do you dress me this way?" And I damn near blew my brains out because I didn't know what to do. I wanted so much to hold on to that resentment. And me and my sponsor talked, and me and Clancy talked, and he gave me some direction about what to do, you know. And that, why don't you just be honest for the first time in your life in an application and just get a little job and do the best you can, you know. But he said, after I'm done, he says, "I want you to take this stack of papers and give it to my secretary." And the thought came to me, why don't you take them to your secretary? You're not busy. But what I did is I took those stack of papers and I gave them to the secretary. And for the first time in my life, a man with authority told me what to do, and I didn't debate it. You see, that's been my whole problem my whole life, is that I always got to question why you want me to do things. Larry, go get a ditch. Go get the ditch. Why? Larry, go do this. Why? You know? And Clancy told me some things, and I got me this little job, and I've been working there ever since because I never ask why anymore. And what's happened over a period of time is that I got to make amends to that wife, to that ex-wife. And I got to become a father to that little girl again. And more important than that, I got to make amends to my father-in-law because he's the one that had been taking care of that little girl during that divorce. He's the one that I had to thank. He's the one that hated my guts. But I didn't care because I wanted to thank him anyway. I wasn't going there for his approval. I was going there to thank him for taking care of my little girl because I was no longer in her life, you know. And I learned that by saddling up to guys in my home group, you know. And so the home group to me is very valuable for a guy like me because I don't know how to live. And by watching you and watching how you guys conduct yourself and in your home groups means a lot to me. I like to read something and then shut it down. Still more wonderful is the feeling that we do not have to be specially distinguished among our fellows in order to be useful and profoundly happy. Not many of us can be leaders of prominence, nor do we wish to be. Service gladly rendered, obligations squarely met, troubles well accepted, or solve with God's help. The knowledge that at home or in the world outside, we're partners in a common effort. The well-understood fact that in God's sight, all human beings are important. The proof that love freely given surely brings a full return. The certainty that we are no longer isolated and alone in self-constructed prisons. The surety that we need no longer be square pegs in round holes, but can fit and belong in God's scheme of things. These are permanent and legitimate satisfactions of right living, for which no amount of pomp and circumstance, no heap of material possessions could possibly be substitutes. True ambition is not what we thought it was. True ambitions is the deep desire to live usefully and walk humbly under the grace of God. These are my promises today, and these are promises that have been fulfilled by me being an active member of my home group. Thank you very much.